Tonight we will be talking about how murder victims with disabilities often get blamed for their own deaths. And it's estimated that a caregiver kills a disabled person once a week. That is very shocking. The first case, there's so many. Alex Sportalakis, he was 14, and his own mother and godmother, they wanted to kill him, and so they did. First, they tried to poison him. He had autism. They tried to poison him with sleeping pills, but that did not work. And then his mother, Dorothy, stabbed this disabled boy that was 14 with autism. She stabbed him in his chest with a kitchen knife twice, hitting his heart. And that wasn't enough for her. She went on to slit one of his wrists so deeply that she nearly severed his hand. That was according to court records. And then, after this, at some point, she handed the knife to the godmother, who then used it to kill the family cat so it wouldn't have to live in a shelter after their arrest. It's just like these people. Okay. They should have thought about that before they tried to kill this poor child. Okay, then a year... excuse me. This is upsetting. A year later, 11-year-old Rashani Coley, he was another child in Illinois, and he died from a stomach rupture after his mother, Nicolette Lawrence, started punching her repeatedly over and over. And then when they did the autopsy on this 11-year-old girl, it revealed that there were old injuries and scars that indicates previous child abuse. I mean, this is just insane. Alex was killed in River Grove in 2013, and Rashani died in Waukegan in 2014, but they were both murdered by the people that they trusted to protect them and take care of them. But the outcome was first degree murder cases, and one involving a child with disabilities, and the other child without medically documented handicaps. This speaks volumes, they say, and I agree, about the insidious bias in the justice system. Alex's killers pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter and served 3 years each before they were sentenced to time served and released. This makes me so angry. And Rashani's killer, meanwhile, was convicted of murder and is serving 43 years, which is better, but you take a life of a child, especially when with disabilities, and then you abuse a child, you need to give your child up at that point If you're just thinking of all these crazy things, it makes no sense. I understand people get stressed out. I understand that. But there needs to be more help, more advocates for these people, these precious children and adults that have disabilities of all kinds. The advocates for the disabled do say, though, such disparities are common in a legal system that seems to treat accused killers less seriously when the victim was a person with special needs who was dependent on that person who was charged for murder that was in their care. Not acceptable whatsoever. And like I said, on average, at least one disabled person is killed each week by a parent or caregiver, according to the Ruderman Family Foundation report that documented more than 200 deaths from 2011 to 2015. And that was a study that was done then. I can only imagine what's going on during the corona or the pandemic, because domestic abuse is on the rise. And so I would guess that people with disability abuse is on the rise even more so. But this study found that taking a life, something that typically is not tolerated in our society, is sometimes treated as acceptable in the justice system when the victim had a disability. Killers are commonly portrayed as these angelic caretakers who killed these children out of mercy, or who could no longer bear the burden and snapped. If they could no longer bear the burden, they could have done anything but murder them. There's things they could have done. They took a life. And no one is taking this seriously. I know there are people, but us as Americans and all over this world, I mean, basically, we know that if we have a family member or friend that has a disability that needs our help, we take care of them. But often times, it does become too much for just one person to do. I understand that. There's not enough resources. I don't know what to say about this other than things are gonna have to change. And I'm currently doing a documentary on this very thing of not these people, but disabled people not just getting murdered, but the abuse that goes on behind closed doors for disabled people of all ages. And that's what I really hope. I'm not sure if it will ever see the light of day, but it's so important to me that I hope it does. And the message is that murder is a reasonable response to a disability. And then the courts will treat you lightly if you murder a disabled child, parent, or spouse. David Perry, who is a disability rights activist, he told the Huffington Post this. And another advocate, God bless these people, and God bless the Huffington Post for reporting on this. Felissa Thompson, like I said, another advocate and a licensed master social worker from South Carolina, said there is an obvious discrepancy in how the law and the public treat parents and caregivers accused of killing someone in their care. When anyone, especially a child, is killed, it is called a hideous crime. And there is an urgency to punish the person who is responsible for that said murder, said Thompson, a contributor to the Rudman Report. And she was born with a disability. I can't pronounce this, but it's also known as brittle bone disease, which has to be terrible. Oh my goodness. But when it comes to these disabled kids, there is this gross level of excusing that behavior. How is that okay anywhere in this whole world? Their murders, these children, they were committed in a cold and calculated and premeditated manner. Now just remember, premeditation. It's very upsetting. And they treated the 11-year-old girl inhumane. For what reason? And, you know, the 14-year-old boy with autism, the two ladies, his mother and his godmother, they pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter, and the judge showed the killer's mercy, not the victim's mercy. These people need to be arrested. That's my feeling. Vote these people out. Keep up with this. If you are a disability advocate or want to be, this is how you can help. We have to hold the judges accountable. In whatever state you are in, make these people accountable. And we need to bring awareness. That's why I'm doing a documentary. But like I said, I hope it makes it. I don't know if it will make it to the light of day, but I will do everything I can to make that my purpose right now in life. It's so important to me. And they, you know, go on to say justice has to have some compassion in looking at the facts of these cases. This was the result. That was the defense attorney. Well, where was the compassion to this defense attorney, Michael Boddy? And yeah, that's his job. I know. Why is it allowed, though? We're talking about children here with disabilities. Happens to adults with disabilities. Just because someone has a disability doesn't give you the right to take over their life and then take their life from them. If you have a disability yourself and someone is abusing you, document it in any way you can. Record it. Let's hold these people accountable. So, I'll be reporting on more of these. Just blown away because I never knew that on average one disabled person a week is killed. Just remember that. Usually premeditated. So I want to leave you with that. And let's all do something to be kind. And if you see someone's abusing someone, report it. Do whatever you can, whoever you are. This is so important. These children were born to no fault of their own. And some of these children get abused as children and they don't get murdered, but they're still abused. And they can go into adulthood if they're not able to make it on their own, and they get abused. And people just set them aside because it's not them. They don't have time to think about it. But if it was them, they would have all the time in the world to think about it. There are some good people in this world who don't have disabilities that would do something about this, and I applaud you for that. I know my listeners are compassionate people. Thank you. Until next time.